Tanu Rabbanan, Mipnei Shloisha Dvarim Ein Nechnasim L'Churba, because of three things, one is not allowed to go into a Churba. Mipnei Cheshad, because of there's concern that people will go ahead and suspect one of having improper reasons for going into a Churba. In other words, if a person is going into a Churba, and that's not a normal place for business, that's not a normal place for anything, then there's a reason. Well, what are you doing there? It's similar to if you see a car parked in middle of nowhere and, a guy on the computer screen, like, what are you doing? Everybody knows what the person is, hiding out, to get... It used to be, before Wi-Fi became totally prevalent, that you used to have people scanning, for people's unlocked Wi-Fis, and then they park there for whatever. So if you see a person going ahead and... if you see a person going ahead and going into a churba, into a house that is an abandoned house, so you have to suspect that perhaps he's going in there for illicit reasons. Perhaps he had a zoina hidden in there, and he sent her a message, come, I'll meet you over there. So therefore, do not go into a churba, because you don't want people to have to suspect you improperly. A person should always be careful not to allow people to do things that cause people to suspect them. It's not a mitzvah if a person goes ahead and even if he's not doing anything wrong, he has to be careful that he doesn't set himself up for people to suspect him improperly of doing things wrong. So that's reason number one. Because we are scared that it might fall down. There's a danger in going into an abandoned house. And number three, because of the shadim that exist in these houses. Questions the Gemara. Why do you need three reasons? If there's three reasons, obviously each of them have a reason in and of themselves. So number one, because people suspect of improper things. But typically, why do we need that reason? Just say because of it might fall down. The Gemara answers, b'chadati. It's talking about it was just fairly recently abandoned. So we're not scared that it's going to fall down. It's only, the fear that it's only going to fall down is only if it's been abandoned for many years. So then it's never been taken care of for many years. You never know, it might fall down at one point. However, it's fairly recently abandoned, and therefore there's no chashash that it will fall down. So if it's typically Mishum Azikin, what about Shadim? Any place, any house that is abandoned might have these Shadim in them. And in fact, that's the reason when a person moves from a house, he's not allowed to take down the mezuzahs. The mezuzahs protect from the Shadim. If you leave your house, even if it's for one day, you're not allowed to take down the mezuzahs. Let's say you're moving to a new house, unless you know that a guy is moving in after you. But otherwise, you're not allowed to set up the house for the next Jew to have mazikin in there. So even if one leaves for one day, the mazikin comes. And the Gemara answers, it's talking about betray. It's talking about where there are two people there. Questions the Gemara, betray. If there are two people there, then cheshad namileka. Then there should be no concern even for cheshad. There's no concern even for... if it's betray, then there's no concern even for somebody suspecting you of doing an illicit thing. Aren't you only going to do those things privately? And the Gemara says, betray, it's talking about two, upritzi. And people who are, parats, people who are very, how do we translate that? People who are very, what? Low more, beautiful. People who are very low moral character, exactly. Therefore, we suspect them of even two people together having... may have set up a zayna or zaynos in there beforehand. And that's nogea, also hilchos yichud. A person is allowed to be, two men together are allowed to be miyached with a woman, but not if they're known to be parets. If they're known to be prutzim, then you cannot have two men together with a woman. Otherwise, two men together is fine with a woman. Mipnei hamapoilas. Questions, Gemara, why do you need the second reason if it might fall down? Why, once you have the other two reasons, that maybe there's a zoina in there, or maybe there are shadim in there, why do you need the concern that it might fall down? And the Gemara says, because what happens if you go in there with two people who are kosher? Betray v'kashmi, two high moral character people. There, we're not concerned that there's any shadim, because you're walking in there with somebody else, and we're not concerned that there's a zoina in there, because they're upright, upstanding Jews, and therefore there's no concern that maybe as two together that they're going to have set up a zoina there. One person can always fail by himself, but two together, the chance that this guy will do it in front of somebody else is low. And the third reason, v'pnei ha-mazikin, because there are shadim in there, v'tepek leim v'pnei chashad u'mapelis, why don't we say because we're concerned that maybe there was a zayna in there, or maybe it might fall down. And the Gemara answers, b'chur b'charati, it's a fairly recently abandoned house, and therefore there's no concern that it will fall down. U'betrei v'kashri, and it's talking about two people and they're kosher. The Gemara says, I betray. If it's two people, then mazikin amileka. Then there's no concern for the shadim either, for this mazikin. And the Gemara answers, b'mekoyman chayishinan. Nevertheless, in certain areas that these mazikin are common, then they don't mind bothering even two people. This that two people are able to fight, or are able to win over a mazikin, and they won't bother two people, that's only if it's the mazikin don't feel at home. But if the mazikin feel at home, then they can bother even two people. We're talking alternatively, the Gemara says, we are talking about one person walking in there. And we're talking about a fairly recently abandoned house. However, and therefore we're not concerned that it's going to fall down. We should have a problem that maybe it is not going to be. Maybe we're concerned that maybe it would fall down. That maybe it would. We're concerned that maybe there's a zayna in there. It's talking about the koy bedabra. The house is in a desert. The hasam mishum chashad leka, that over there in the desert or in an abandoned area, there's no concern that maybe there would be a zayna. The haisha bedabra leshlicha. You see, what happens is you're going downtown and you see a zayna. So you're like, okay, I'll meet you in that apartment in 10 minutes. But you're gonna tell her, here's an address out in Nevada. Well, certain parts of Nevada, maybe, but here's an address out in some desert, Arizona. So then she's not going to go there. The Isha Bedavar Lo Yishlicha, women are not concerned. Women do not go to these abandoned places out in a desert. She might go to a local abandoned house, but she's not going to hang out way away from the city. And Mishu Mazikin, in that place, there is still concern for Mazikin, Ika. Tanu Rabbanan, now here's the machlekas that we were talking about at the beginning of today. Arba mishmaras havi halayla. There are four. The night is split up into, we said three or four. The first man d'amar divrei Rabbi. Rabbi holds that the night is split up into four different periods, four different watches. And again, these watches are what malachim do during the night. So how many sets of how many changing of the guards do they have in the malachim singing by night? Rabbi holds there are four separate watches. And Rabbi Nassan Amar Shalish, Rabbi Nassan holds there are three, only three separate watches. And the Gemara is going to say that it's a machlekas and how to read certain psukim. So my time of the Gemara starts with Rav Nassan. My time with Rav Nassan, what is the reasoning for Rav Nassan? The Chsiv, as it states, Vayavai Gidoin, Gidoin came, Umeya Ish Asher Itai, with 100 men with him, B'ktzei HaMachaneh, Roish HaAshmeiras HaTichayna, at the start of the middle watch. So the start of the middle watch, if you say middle, Tana, the Tana explains, Ein Tichayna, when it says the word middle, Ein Ela Sheyesh, excuse me, Ela Sheyesh Lefaneho L'Achreo. It means that there has been a watch before it and after it. That's what it means. So therefore, there's a total of three. So Rebbe says, okay, how does Rebbe, who holds that there's four, how does he respond to that? Rebbe says, "My tichayna." What does it mean, the middle one? It means achas min hatichayna shebetichaynais. It means one of the middle ones. Four also has a middle, two in the middle. So when it says middle, it means one of the middle. And what does Rabbi Nassan respond to that? Rabbi Nassan says, "Nah, miksiv tichayna shebetichaynais." Does it say one of the middle ones? Tichayna. If it says the middle one, and if it says the middle one, then there's got to be only three. Okay, so that's where Rabbi Nassan sources his opinion that there are only three separate watches during the night. And where does Rebbe come from? My time into Rebbe. Rebbe says there are four separate watches. Amr of Zrika, Amr of Ami, Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, because he says as follows. Kasuv Echad Oymer, because one pasuk says, Chatzois Laila Akum Lahoidais Lacha. Hashem says, David HaMelech says, I get up at Chatzois to Lahoidais Lach, to thank you. Al Mishpetet Sidkecha. Basically on your Torah. Because of Echad Omer, and another pasuk says, Kidmu Einai Ashmairais, my eyes get up. In other words, I get up Ashmairais before two Ashmairais in plural. So I get up before two Mishmairais, before the night. So in other words, I get up while there are still two Mishmairais of the night left. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? One says I get up at Chatzais, and one says I get up two Mishmairais before the end of the night. Here in Daf Yomi, we're going to get up one mishmar at the end of the night. But David Melech is to get up two mishmars before the end of the night. Ha-Kate said, how do we reconcile those two psukim? It must be arba mishmaris hayu alayla. It must be that there are four mishmaris And now it makes sense. There are four mishmaros of the night. I get up at chatzais. Chatzais would mean I still have two left. So how does Rabbi Nassan respond to that? Rabbi Nassan responds to that. Savar like a Rabbi Yehoshua. He says, I'll tell you how pshat is. He says, I hold like Rabbi Yehoshua. That nan Rabbi Yehoshua Eimer, Rabbi Yehoshua says that during the day, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema ad shalishos until the third hour of the day, which is what we paskin, that you're allowed to say Kriya Shema until, Magen Avraham Goyen had to understand this, but you're allowed to say Kriya Shema until the third hour of the day. You don't have to say it before sunbreak. Why? Because it says uvakumecha when you get up. And since kings get up at the third hour of the day, so therefore you're allowed to say Kriya Shema up until the third hour of the day. Kings who have nothing on their mind and they just sit there and eat all day long, so they have to sleep a bit more or whatever. So therefore they get up to the third hour of the day. And therefore you're allowed to say Kriya Shema up until that time. But what do we see? That kings generally get up at the third hour of the day. So David HaMelech was saying that I get up two mishmaris before, he was saying, I get up at chatzos. Now, according to Rav Nassan, that's already only 1.5 mishmaris left. But since generally a king should have gotten up 2 hours later after daybreak, so putting the hours together, you get two full mishmaris of time. Rav Nassan Savar like Rabbi Yehoshua, that nan Rabbi Yehoshua Amar ad shalish shayis, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema in the morning up until the third hour of the day. Why? Shekein derech malachim la'amoid b'shalish shayis, because it's the normal fashion of kings to get up in the third hour of the day. So we have shistilelia, we have 6 hours of the night, because he got up at chatzos. And v'tarti d'yamama, now very interestingly, is our Gemara sheds a bit of light on this third hour of the day. It doesn't mean until the end of the third hour, it means until the beginning of the third hour. Which is a chiddush. I don't think we paskin like this. I think we paskin at the end of the third hour. But everybody speaks this out, that this Gemara is shows how to learn that other Gemara. Shisla v'tarti d'yamama, and 2 hours of the day, when it says the third hour means the beginning of the third hour, so 1, 2, and then the beginning of the third hour, so that's 2 hours a day. So 6 by night and 2 by day is a total of 8 hours. Havilahu shtei mishmaris. 8 hours is the time of 2 full mishmaris. So that's what David HaMelech means when he says, I get up 2 mishmaris before the end of the night. He means the time span of 2 mishmaris, but not actually 2 mishmaris, because really it was only 1.5. Alternatively, the Gemara gives a second answer. This, that it means I get up mishmaris, plural, before the end of the night, it means 1.5. And 1.5 also, you can say plural on that. You only don't say plural when it's just one plane. Rav Ashi Amar Mishmara Upalga, a Mishmar and a half, is also Nami, also Mishmaris Karilei Lehu. You can also say that it means Mishmaris. You can also term it as Mishmaris. You can also use that term called Mishmaris when you refer to 1.5. In other words, if a person has an apple, he has an apple. What happens if you have an apple and a half? You say, can you pass the apples? Somebody's going to say, I don't have apples. I only have 1.5. No, you say pass the apples, I guess. So you say pass the apples when you have 1.5. If you only had 1 apple, it would be strange to say pass the apples. But if you have 1.5, you could say pass the apples. That's what Rav Ashi says. The first man dharma obviously holds not. First man dharma holds no. You will not say pass the apples. You'd say pass the apple and a half. So we have a machlikas on how to talk. Rav Ashi holds that Mishmoy Rois you could call 1.5. The first man never holds not. Interesting. V'amr of Zrika, Amr of Ami, Amr of Yehoshua ben Levi, Ein Oimrim Befnei Hames. Now, the reason why we bring this down over here is because it's the same. A lot of times in Shas, we're going to do that. We're going to bring down a memra that has a statement that has absolutely nothing to do with the previous conversation. It's just that it was said in the same name, and therefore we'll bring it down over here. So it's the same name, Amr of Zrika, Amr of Ami, Amr of Yeshua ben Levi. Ein Oimrim Befnei Hames, Ela Dvarav Shel Mes. If there's a dead person lying there, and you're watching that dead person, like we have Shmira. On a dead body, we have Shmira. We never let a dead body by themselves. So, Ein Oimrim Befnei Hames, Ela Dvarav Shel Mes. You're only allowed to talk about things that have relevance to the mace. That's the statement. Now, that statement has a qualification. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Le'amarn Ela B'Divrei Torah. That only means that you shouldn't talk about Torah. But if you want to talk about something mundane, you want to talk about, you know, politics or sports or other, or news or something like that, that's okay. So long as you're not talking about Torah. Why? Because we don't want the mace to feel bad. Here, you're getting mitzvahs and I'm just sitting here doing nothing. But if you're sitting there talking about sports, then Adarabi, he's like, okay, I didn't miss much. So it's not so bad to go to the next world. So with random topics, with mundane topics, less than about there is no kpeda, there is no reason not to talk about whatever you want. So you can schmooze about whatever you want in front of this dead body, just not about Torah, because you don't want him to feel bad. The Ika de Amri, and there are those that say, Omer bi Abba bar Kahana, lo yamarin ela afilu b'divrei Torah. Some say that no. Adraba. Of course you shouldn't talk about mundane topics. Then he'll feel bad. Here I am, lying here dead, and all you can talk about is Trump. But the chiddush is that you might have thought that Torah you could talk about, because Lamaisi, you're doing a mitzvah. Kamash Milan, no, even Torah you shouldn't talk about because you're making him feel bad. But certainly you shouldn't talk about mundane topics. Then you're like, okay, there happens to be a dead body here, but we're just schmoozing about a raccoon that was in my garbage last night. So he'll feel very bad. That's all I'm worth. I believe that would be considered, it's a very good question, because I think we do say Tehillim. It's a very good question. So you're allowed to talk about things that have no shaychus to him. You're allowed to talk about him, and saying Tehillim, probably is okay. Yes, Tosis brings out that it's Dafka ba'arba amas. What does Rabbi Kiva Eger say? Ayin Tez Baba Kama. Yes, Tez over here does bring down that it's Dafka Arba Amas. And he also paskins like the first Mahalach, that it's Dafka B'Divrei Torah. But yeah, so yeah, you're right, it's Dafka Arba Amas. But even if you want to say Tehillim, I would say that that's considered Mili de Shaloi. I would say that's considered for him.
So according to Ige Dava, you can't say anything.
According to the Ikedam, you cannot say anything. No, except it has to do with him. You could talk about him. You could give like shmooze about him and how great he was. Or you could say Tehillim B'Zuchusay, which is what we do. Now the Gemara questions. With David B'Palga Delelia Havikoy, David used to get up at the beginning, at the Chatzois B'Palga, at the half the night. He used to get up in the beginning of the night. As it says, Dichsiv Ki Damti, I got up, B'Neshef. B'Neshef, we're going to translate at when the sky changes, so it's going to be at nightfall. V'Ashaveya, and I daven. Questions to Gemara, Umimai, just clarifying this question. Umimai, and how do we know Dahai Neshef is Orta? How do we know that Neshef is a time of night? Dichsiv, as it says, B'Neshef, B'Erev, Yoim. B'Neshef, but during the Nefesh, but then during the Neshef, which is the time period that we're talking about, B'Erev, in the evening, Yoim, B'Isha, in Laila, V'Apela, when the sky gets dark. So we see that Neshef is the time that the sky gets dark. So it's and David Melech says, I get up at Neshef. Amar of Oishia, I don't know if when he went to sleep then. Amar of Oishia, Amar of Acha, Hachi ka Amar. Me oilam loy over alai chatzois laila b'sheina. So Rabbi Oishia explains that, yes, sometimes he got up at Neshef. And he said, though, I never slept later than chatzois. That's the first answer. So either sometimes it was at Neshef, but never past chatzois. And Rav Zera Amar ad chatzos laila hayimis namnim. Rav Zera gives a different answer. He used to get up and continue in this a dozing state until from Neshef till chatzos. Ad chatzos laila hayimis namnim. He used to doze kisus like a horse. He used to sleep a bit, get up, write a chiddush, go back to sleep. He used to sleep in 2.5 minute intervals. Mikan ve'elach. From then on, after chatzos hayimis gaber ko'ari. He used to get up like a lion. That's answer number two. And answer number three was really he got up at Neshef. Rav Ashi Amar ad chatzos laila haya oisik b'divrei Torah. And at Neshef till chatzos he used to learn Torah. Mikan ve'elach, from chatzos on b'shiras v'sishbachos he used to do Tehillim and things like that. Shiras and sishbachos, songs and praises. Okay, those are the three answers for the stira and the psukim. Did David HaMelech get up at nightfall or did he get up at chatzos? Either it was sometimes nightfall, sometimes chatzos, or it was nightfall, he used to doze until chatzos, and then he used to get up fully, or nightfall, he used to get up on Taira, and then he used to switch over at chatzos to Sirius and Sishbachas.
So he went to sleep in the evening?
Right, he went to sleep, I guess, early, maybe like Shkia, and then he woke up. According to this other's opinions, he used to get up, go to sleep by Shkia, and get up by Neshef. The Gemara says, "V'neshef ortahu." Was Neshef considered night? Ha'neshef tzafrahu. But Neshef is a word that means morning, as it states, "Dichsiv ayakim David mehaneshef va'ad erev l'macharasim." As it says, and David hit them during a war from Neshef until evening the next day. My love mitzafrah v'adlaila does not mean from morning until evening. And the Gemara says, "No, Neshef also means the evening. Me orta va'ad orta. It means from one evening to the next evening." Oh, the Gemara says Ihachi. So if that's what it means evening. So why does the pasuk switch its terminology? If it means evening, so then say may erev ad erev or neshef ad neshef. Ihachi. If it means evening, so lichtev me haneshef ad haneshef. Or may erev ad erev. Why are we referring to night in two different words? So of course it does mean morning. So Ella Amarava Tre Nashvi Havi. So Gemara answers that Neshef means a time period when the sky changes, either from day to night or from night to day. Ella Amarava Tre Nashvi Havi. There's the Neshef Lelya Va'asu Yamama. There's the Neshef when night turns to day, and then there's the Neshef Yamama Va'asu Lelya, and then there's the Neshef when day turns to night. Famous Gemara V'David Mihavayada Bepalga Delelya Amos. Did David HaMelech know when Chatzos was? It says that David HaMelech used to get up by Chatzos. Now there's a pasuk that says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the people in Mitzrayim that tomorrow night by Chatzos, around Chatzos, there's going to be Makas Bechiris. Why did he say around Chatzos? He should have said Chatzos. The answer is, the Gemara assumes, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to pinpoint exactly when Chatzos was. So if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't pinpoint when Chatzos was, you think David HaMelech could? Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu, now that Moshe Rabbeinu loy have a yada, did not know when Chatzos was, as it states, Tiksiv ka Chatzos alayla, as it states by Makis Becheris, tomorrow night around Chatzos, ka Chatzos, using that cuff around Chatzos, and the Yaitu B'dech Mitzrayim, Hashem is going to go out through Mitzrayim and kill all the Becheris. My ka Chatzos, what does it mean around Chatzos? Ile mada amalei kud shebrichu ka Chatzos, if it's because Hashem said around Chatzos, then mi'ikas feke kamish mait, does Hashem not know when Chatzos is? That would be a very hard theological question. Does Hashem know in Chatzos? El, of course he does. Ela de Amarle ba Chatzos. Hashem obviously said at Chatzos. Va'asa'i, when along comes Moshe Rabbeinu, Asa'ihu, he comes along. Va'amar, and he said ka Chatzos, and he said around Chatzos, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to determine exactly when Chatzos was, and something that can't be determined, he didn't want to say, because it can't be proven. Something that can't be proven, don't say. Alma, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was misupik, was unclear of when Chatzos was. The David have a yada, so you're going to tell me that David did know when Chatzos was? And the Gemara famously says, the David, the Gemara answers, David simana havele, David had a sign, a simen, the Amar Rabbi Achar bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Kinor, there was a harp, have a toloi lemaila mimitasa shel David, that was hanging above David HaMelech's bed. The Kevan shehigia Chatzos alayla, once Chatzos came, so naturally there was a phenomenon that a northern wind used to blow. So he had a window on the north side of his palace, and a harp strung over that window, and Baruach Tzifanus, along came the northern window, and it blew through the harp, and it used to blow exactly at Chatzos. Miyad hayayimid, immediately David would stand up va'isik b'teira and learn Teira. By the way, before we said Sirish v'sishbachos, ad she'ala amura shachar, until it got light. Okay, we will continue here tomorrow. And that is that. Yeshikach, everybody, again, for coming. Have a great day.